So we're continuing. I'm going to jump back into our Hebrew series, if you could throw that up, Kyle. If you've been here in the last 9 months, we started a series back in October, believe it or not, and we decided that we were going to journey through the book of Hebrews. And so we did, I think, 10 weeks leading up to Christmas, and then we took a break in January. I picked it up in February and March and April, right up to Easter. We got to part 18, which is only chapter 10. And so today, and hopefully for the next probably 5 or 6 weeks, we're just going to be in Hebrews 11. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible, that's okay. Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter. It's all about heroes of the faith. And so I don't want to rush through this. I could do Hebrews 11 in one sermon, but I want to take my time and just kind of go through this and look at the people and look at faith and understand what God is doing. And so for the next couple weeks, we're just going to dive back into the series. And the whole thing of Hebrews is that Jesus is greater than. Jesus is greater. We talked about this in the beginning. He's greater than angels and Moses and Aaron and any high priest and all the high priests. And he's greater than the law and he's greater than the old covenant. And Jesus is just greater. And the writer of Hebrews, who we do not know who it is, if you were here the first week back in October, we don't know who the writer is. He doesn't sign his name. We don't know who it is. And so it's kind of a mystery. And that's one of the reasons it almost wasn't included in the Bible, because they didn't know the authorship. But it's just, there's so much that talks about who God is and who Jesus is that they had to put it in what we call the canon, or God's word. And so we don't know who the author is, but we know this. He knew a lot about God and a lot about Jesus, and he wrote some amazing things. And so we're going to get into it today. And if you've been here, we start each of the series, or each of the messages, with these two thoughts. What has Jesus accomplished, and why should Jesus be worshipped? And so in a moment, not right now, just stay in your seats. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read God's word, but just for a minute, just let me give you a little bit of context. Because it's been, the last message I did in Hebrews was April 14th, the week before Easter. And so it's been a couple of weeks. It's been 8 weeks since we got into Hebrews. And so you might forget what I preached on the last sermon. Because when you're reading God's word, and this is really important, when you're reading God's word, you have to know context. You can't just go to a chapter and a verse and begin to read. And that's great, don't get me wrong. But you need to know what the author is telling his original audience. Right? A lot of times, and this is where some pastors, and I see this a lot on television, they get into things and they quote scripture and they do things, but they don't give you the context of what's going on. And so the context of this passage, Hebrews 11, which we're going to talk about, the context is a warning. If you remember the last message I spoke in Hebrews 10, it was a warning on a big word, not a big word, but maybe a word you're not familiar with. It's called apostasy. Do you remember this? Even if you don't, just pretend like you do. Make me feel better, right? Back in April, we talked about apostasy, and it's not a word you hear all the time, but it's someone who hears the gospel, accepts the gospel, and then later on rejects the gospel. And you're calling it an apostate, or somebody who's, you know, accepted, rejected, and wants nothing to do with God. And so this is the context of Hebrews 11. And a lot of times you'll hear preachers or pastors just kind of jump into Hebrews 11 and say, faith is this and faith is that, and look at Abraham and look at Enoch, and you're going to see all these people in the next couple weeks who had tremendous faith. But know this, the writer is saying this. It comes right after a warning. And he actually says this, I think I have the scripture. Hebrews 10, just listen to this, just listen. This is near the end of the chapter. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured great conflict full of, what's the word? Suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecuted. Other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison, joyfully accepting the confiscation of your property. I mean, could you imagine today someone coming in and taking your house or your vehicle or something that you own, all because you are a Christian? That's what was happening in the first century. So this is the context, right? Because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possession. And so the context here is a warning. It's about suffering. It's about difficulty. And the writer, get this, the chapters were put in later. Chapters and verses are for our benefit. This was not put in. He didn't stop writing and say chapter 11 and then begin to write about faith. He's coming right on the heels of this warning about suffering. And you suffered this, and you went through this, and this happened to you. And then he says, now faith, which we'll get into in verse 1. now faith. He even uses this phraseology, so to say, and he says, what about the person who rejects Jesus and they are trampling underfoot the blood of Christ? He goes, what is in store for that person who accepts the gospel, lives for Christ, and then rejects him? What's going to happen to that person? And then he gets into this chapter 11, verse 1. If you would stand, can we stand? I'm just going to read the first couple of verses and then remain standing for prayer. It says this, listen, this is so good. And maybe you know this. Now faith, you know this one? Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders or the ancients or the Old Testament people, who he's going to get into, obtained a good testimony because of their faith. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And then next week I'll get into Abel and Enoch and some of these other characters, but I just want to read it because it's context. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of this gift, and through it being dead still speaks. And by faith, Enoch, and if you don't know who Enoch is, you will next week. You got to come back for Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so they did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that pleased God. There was a guy in the Old Testament that never experienced death. He had such a relationship with God that when he got older, God just took him to heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to go that way. You know what I'm saying? Not have to suffer and have the pain of death and just be like God, be like, yeah, come on, just come to heaven with me. But that's Enoch's story. And then it says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning God. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's pray. God, for me, it's been quite a morning. And I don't know what your people have experienced and what's happened to them, and maybe something at home or the drive here or something that happened last week. But we just take a couple of moments here of our lives and we focus on you, because we want to know you more. We want to know you greater, because Jesus, you are greater than anything that this world has to offer. And so, God, let our attention and our focus be on you. Use these words of mine to speak to your people, to encourage and to challenge. God, mold us, shape us into the men and women you want us to be, Lord. And we thank you that you're a great father. You're a wonderful father who loves us, who had a plan and a purpose for us. And we celebrate that today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So let me just kind of begin with a question. Why does faith or trust come so easy for children? You ever thought about that? Now, my boys are older now, and I can't do it now because one of them is like 6'2 or 6'3. But when they were ever on a step or on a slide or something high, and I said to them, jump, dad will catch you. Now, I wouldn't do that now because it would be over. It would just, I'd be done. I wouldn't be back here next Sunday, you know what I'm saying? But when they're young, they have this amazing trust and faith. And when they're up high and you're looking at them and you say, jump, mom or dad or whoever is going to catch you, usually there's a little bit of hesitation, but what happens? They jump. Why? Because you told them to? No. Because they really, truly believe that you will catch them. That you, listen, can be trusted. Jesus actually talked about this in Matthew 18. He says this. He says, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. He has all these religious leaders, all these, you know, scholars, and he pulls in a child and he says this to them. Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, he doesn't really mean you have to become small like a child. He's actually saying, and he's talking about having childlike trust or childlike faith, this belief, this hope, this confidence in who God is. And children have that, do they not? It's amazing how children have this in parents and aunts and uncles and family member and teachers and all these different people in their lives. And so Jesus recognized this wonderful quality of trust and faith that children have. And he said this to us, we must become like them. We must have this trust and faith in who God is and what he's capable of doing. And so we want to look at Hebrews 11. We want to talk about faith. And today I want you to understand what faith is and how we can get more. Anybody here want a little more faith? Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay, not everybody, but that's okay. If you don't want it, that's fine. That's fine. God is dishing it out. If you don't want any, listen, you can skip it. I want more faith. I want more faith. I want more trust in God. And so let's get into this. I put my notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along. Verse 1 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Here's the first one. Faith is substance. I mean, this message kind of preaches itself. There's no fancy things, no fancy points to this. We're just going to kind of look at what faith is. And so faith is substance. And what I mean by that is faith is confidence. Faith is a realization that what God or who God is and what he says is true. That's what faith is. Faith is trusting God, having a confidence in God, having a realization. Simply put, I think I put this in your notes. Simply put, faith is believing in what God said. That his word can be trusted. That his word is true. Now, for a moment, I need you to imagine, and if you don't have a good imagination, that's okay. Imagine, you'll like this. Imagine that I owe you $100. That'd be good, right? How many want $100 from the pastor? I'm not handing them out, so just stop. Just don't get excited. Like, oh, he's handing out money. I'm not. But imagine just for a moment that I owe you $100, and you came to me, and you said, Pastor, you know that $100 I lent you? I'd really like to have that back. And I said to you, I don't have any money with me, but will you take a check? Now, how many would take a check from the pastor? Okay. How many would not? How many do not trust me? And I just want to see your hands now because you're not getting any root beer or pretzels at the end. Yeah. Most of you would say, yeah, I'll take a check from you. And this is a check. I grabbed this morning from our checkbook. It's not filled out, so you can't have it. And it's not signed. So I made sure I didn't sign in case I lose it. But you would take a check from the pastor, and you would have the confidence to go to the bank and to present this to someone and believe that there is more than $100 in my bank account, which there is, okay? Praise God, there's more than 100. But you'd also have the confidence because the bank has put their stamp on it because they're TD Bank, that's our bank. I'm not going to give you the account number, but TD Bank is right there. And it would have my signature on it, and it would say $100, and you could have the confidence and the trust that you can go to the bank and take this check and they would give you $100. Most of us would do that, wouldn't we? Absolutely. Listen. That's what faith is. Faith is a confidence in knowing what God's word says. And this is why I encourage you to memorize scripture, right? Memorize verses. Memorize a couple of verses every year. It's an amazing thing. Just write a couple verses down. Put them in your car. Put them on your refrigerator. Put them somewhere in your office so that you can just look at that verse every time and get it in your heart. But faith is having confidence, a realization that what God said is true. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Faith is what supports your hope in God. Now, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I wasn't here. My family and I went to England for a vacation, and one of my sons hurt his knee, and we had to buy him crutches. And I don't know if you've ever got crutches in England. They don't have the crutches that we have. They have different kind of crutches that go around your wrists, and you hold them. Have you seen those? But what do crutches do? They support you. That's what they do. And so even though his knee was hurting, he had these crutches that he could get around on and walk on that would help support him. That is what faith is. Faith is the thing that undergirds and supports your belief, your trust, your confidence in who God is. Are you tracking with me this morning? Now, faith is the substance. It's the confidence. It undergirds, it supports your belief, your hope, your trust, your realization in who God is. It's this confidence, listen, in things hoped for. Faith is trusting God even when things haven't happened yet. It's trusting God for your marriage, even when things maybe don't look good. It's trusting God for your children, when maybe your children are doing or living or heading down a path that you don't want them to go down. Faith is trusting even if you don't have children and you're hoping for children. Faith is trusting for your finances, and maybe things aren't in order, and I would encourage you, listen, it begins with giving God the first. And if you line up your life like that, it's amazing what God can do with your finances. But maybe it's trusting for your finances. Maybe it's trusting for a health concern. Maybe you've got a report, or maybe you're concerned you have to go to the doctor, or you've got something coming up soon and you're concerned. Faith is trusting and believing and hoping in what God's word says. It's trusting for your future. Now, if something has already happened, does it take faith to believe it? No, absolutely not. If something has already occurred, something's already happened, it doesn't take faith. Faith is something that hasn't happened yet that you're trusting God for. Are you with me? It's not faith if it's already happened. It's not faith, right? Faith is forward-looking. Faith is not trusting the future. I think I put this in your notes. But it's trusting the one who knows the future. I'm going to say it again because that's really good. Faith is not trusting the future. It's trusting the one who knows the future. Now, if you don't know my story, that's okay. I've been in ministry for a number of years. I know I look like I'm 30, but I've actually been in ministry for 20. And happy Father's Day to you, too, whoever laughed at me. I know I look like I'm 30, but I've been in ministry for 28 years. And I've been reading God's word since I was a child. I went to Sunday school, went to church. I cannot tell you how many sermons I've heard or preached, right? It's in the thousands, okay? But I saw this verse last week that I've never seen before. And I just love that when that happens. Now, I've read the Bible a number of times. Usually, I try to read it every year. I haven't the last couple years because I've been through different things. I've been doing devotions. And last year, I did the New Testament. And then next year, I'm going to do the Old Testament. But I've read this verse. I know I've read this verse a number of times. But it's never jumped out of the page. Have you ever that happened before? Like, you read a verse, and it's just like God is saying something to you. It's like, I can't believe I missed this verse. And so last week, and I was preparing for this message, and this was a verse in my devotions. And I was like, I can't believe I've never seen this verse before. And it goes so well with what we're going to talk about. And it's found in the book of Joshua. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to put it up. But it says this. This is Joshua writing at the end of the book of Joshua. The Israelites are now in the promised land, and God has done some amazing things for them. And Joshua pens this. He says this. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one of them was fulfilled. It was me and God. Man, I had some time with God last week just on this verse, just on the promises that God can be trusted, that God is faithful. Do you know that God never misses a promise? Like, it never slips his mind. It never, like, oops, I forgot, I said this. No. God never misses a promise. Now, if you don't know the story of Joshua, you can trace the Israelites back all the way to Abraham. And Abraham, we're going to get into him in a couple weeks. Abraham was told by God to leave his family and to go to a land where God didn't even tell him where it was. He's like, just pack up your stuff and head in this direction. And Abraham did it. And what's amazing is they didn't do that in Bible times. You know, we jump in our car and we just go places. They didn't have, he packed up everything he had. Where he had grown up, his family was there, and he moved them because God told him. And God promised Abraham, I will make you a great nation. At that point, Abraham had a wife and no children. And he was older. And yet God fulfilled that promise of a child. And God built a nation. In a couple hundred years, God built a nation of over 1 million people who were in slavery in Egypt. And God delivered them. Another promise. And God fed them. Could you imagine? Listen, you think you have a big family, you know, when you have a family event and you have to feed all your cousins and, you know, come on. You know how it goes. When you have a party and everybody comes out of the woodwork, you know what I'm talking about? And they're like, well, aren't you inviting me? And you got to make, you know, you got to make chicken and rice and all this stuff. And everybody's eating your food. Could you imagine feeding 1 million people every day? It's nothing for God. It's nothing for him. And giving them water and taking care of them. The Bible says that their clothes didn't wear out. which hopefully they had their best outfit when they left Egypt, because you're going to wear that one for the next 40 years. You know what I'm saying? Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. 40 years. And Joshua says this, we've made it into the promised land, and every one of God's promises, God didn't miss one. That's the faithfulness of God. That's the trust of God. And listen, this goes so well with this message because God can be trusted. Now, faith is the substance, the confidence, the realization of things hoped for. And if you're putting your trust, hear me, if you're putting your faith and your trust in God today, get this verse. Not one of his promises he misses. God is faithful. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it says this in the second part. It's the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. That's number two. Faith is evidence. Faith is substance. It's a belief. It's a trust. It's a confidence. It's a realization. But faith is also evidence. Now, here's the interesting thing about evidence is something that can be tested or proved. Am I correct? Because if it's not tested and not proved, hear me, it's not evidence. Now, I'm not a police officer, but I do watch some shows on TV. My wife, for some reason, a couple years ago, we got hooked into SVU. Anyone? Right? And so we're watching all these reruns. And they have this, you know, they have people that investigate and look for evidence. But if there's no evidence that can be tested, and you know they have that DNA thing and all that stuff, they test stuff, right, and see if things line up and who did this and who did that. If evidence cannot be tested or proven, then it's not evidence. It can't be used. Faith is the substance, the confidence, the realization of things hoped for, trusting God. And it's the evidence, hear me, it can be proved and tested. It's the evidence of things not seen. One thing I hear a lot today is that there's really no evidence for God. How many hear that? Like, it's taught in the schools, and people say it with confidence, like, oh, there's really no evidence for God. And you know, that kind of takes me back a little. It kind of takes me aback because everywhere you look, there's evidence for God that prove who God is. I think nothing could be further from the truth. And people live in faith all the time. Now, to help me illustrate this, I told you that we went on a trip. And so we drove to Newark, and we gave these people tickets, and they put us on this tube with these two wings. Anybody familiar with this? And they have these little windows that you look out of. You know what I'm saying? And here's what happens. You go down this long path. It's really long. And you go super duper fast. You know what's happening, right? And then all of a sudden, this tube that you're sitting in, and we were in coach. Come on, somebody. Where are my coach people? Like a sardine for 6 hours. Lord help me. Right? And then the person behind me wants to put their seat back, which is about right here in my face. But here's what happened. We get in this tube and we go really fast, and all of a sudden, we go into the air. Now, at that point, was I surprised? No. I never saw the pilots. I mean, for all I know, it could have been a couple monkeys in the cockpit. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, it could have been a couple guys that have never flown before, like, hey, it's my turn. I have no idea. I didn't see the engine. I didn't see them put fuel in the plane. And yet I had the faith, because that's really what it is. I had the faith to get in this tube, to strap myself in with a couple hundred other people, and to fly and to trust that the pilots knew where they were going, that the engine would work, that there'd be fuel, that there'd be really, really terrible food on that plane. And there was, we use faith all the time. We just don't realize it. You trust things all the time. After church today, you're going to get in your car, right? And what are you going to do? You're going to turn the key. And you're going to have faith and trust that that engine, that there were some guys in either Detroit or Japan or wherever your car was made, Mexico, that they put all these parts together and the engine works. That you put gas in it, and there's oil in it, and you turn it on, and it works. And you know what that is? It's faith. That's faith. That's trusting in something. And so we take so much faith for granted all the time, we don't even realize it. Have you ever flown a kite? You ever gone to the beach or maybe a field on a windy day and you take this instrument and with string on it and you throw it into the air, and what happens if you're against the wind? What happens? The kite just begins to soar and it begins to go up in the air. Now, did you see the wind before you threw the kite? No, you can't see the wind. You only feel the effects of the wind. God is the same way. You don't see God, but you feel the effects of who God is. And that, my friends, listen, is faith. And there's this evidence. The Bible says faith is evidence. And the writer here kind of gives us a little glimpse in verse 3. Look at verse 3, Hebrews 11, verse 3. He says this, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command." And we know from Genesis that God spoke and the worlds were formed. Now, if you believe something different, that's fine. And it says, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And I'll explain that in just a minute. But understand this, the word understand, I'm not going to get into the Greek, but the word understand in the original language in the Greek means a rational thought. That's the interpretation. It says, by faith, we have this rational thought. We understand that the universe was created by God's word. Faith is not blindly leaping and saying there's a God because you think there's a God or because you feel there's a God. Faith is saying, I believe there is a God because of all the evidence around me. Because I've done my research and I've thought things through and there's so much evidence for a God, I believe that there is a God. Faith is looking at the evidence and having a rational thought, there must be a God if we have all of this. Faith is intellect. It's reason. I have examined the evidence, and all of the evidence points to God. Now, real quick question before we keep going on faith. What happened at the beginning of time? Do you know what happened? I have no idea. And here's the reason. I wasn't there. And neither were you. Were you there? Anybody at the beginning when God started everything? Or maybe if you believe there's a Big Bang, that you were around for the Big Bang. Anybody? No. None of us were there. So listen. This is really important. Everything that we believe about the beginning, about creation or about evolution, comes with faith. Now, teachers and professors and people on TV and the intellectual people, the scholars or whoever that get paid lots of money to think, they would love you to think that believing in God takes so much faith, but believing in evolution takes no faith. That's not true. Here's the truth. I don't have enough faith to believe in evolution. That's really the truth. Because none of us were here in the beginning. And everything we take or everything we learn about creation comes from faith, comes from a belief in what we think the evidence points to. Now, like I said, I don't have enough faith to believe in evidence. I don't believe there was a Big Bang in space somewhere, and millions and billions of years later, I now have an eyeball that can see you. I mean, really, come on. I mean, think about this for a moment. Just have a rational thought that there was a Big Bang in the universe somewhere, right? And billions of years later, I now have a brain that can read and reason and write and comprehend all of this because somewhere in space there was a bang. Isn't that kind of ridiculous? I don't have the faith to believe that. Now, what I do believe is that there is a God who, like it says, spoke the universe into creation. And when he spoke, worlds were formed. And when he spoke, before the sun was created, there was light. I would love to tell you how that works, but I have no idea. But I believe God did it. And I believe there's evidence that points to it. And so some would have you think that there's this bang in the universe, there's this thing that happened, and now all of a sudden we have these complicated bodies. I don't know if you've ever studied the human body, but it is amazing. We have a skull that when, I don't know, you know this, when you have to be careful with babies. You know that you're not supposed to drop them on their head. Do you know why? Because their skulls are still forming. Their skulls are still forming. That they're not fused together when they're born. But after a year or two, your skull begins to form. And that skull is wrapped perfectly around your brain. The thing that's most important to you. And you have this heart, this organ inside of you that is just pumping, pumping, pumping. Even now as I speak, it's pumping blood through your body. And it's not just blood, because you're breathing in, you're taking in oxygen, and oxygen goes through your lungs and is taken by your blood throughout all the way to your fingertips and to your toes. How is that possible? You mean to tell me that in the universe sometime, billions of years ago, there was a bang, and now all this happens. And we have a digestive tract, right? That when we eat things, it keeps the good stuff and gets rid of the waste. And we have these organs, we have muscles, and we have tendons that wrap or connect our muscles to our skeleton, which is amazing that we have a rib cage that protects our organs, right? And so you're telling me that all this is by chance. It's impossible. When you really, truly look at the evidence, and I know I'm speaking to church people. I know I'm speaking to people that probably most likely believe that God created everything, that just spoke, and the body and everything else was formed. But it takes faith to believe that. And when you look at the evidence that everything points to God, you see that there is a creator. It would be like this, and I thought of this week. Imagine you take a stick of dynamite and you throw it into a building that prints books. And out of that explosion comes a book. Would that ever happen? Would you get War and Peace? Would you get The Great Gatsby? Would you get Hamlet by Shakespeare? If you threw a stick of dynamite into a printing press and all of a sudden out of the explosion came something complicated like a book with letters and words that made sense. But yet that's what we're teaching people today. That's what's in our school systems. That's what's in our colleges, is this idea that the evidence points to evolution. And I'm here to tell you, it does not. And the writer of Hebrews 2,000 years ago tells us this. Listen, by faith, by trusting in God, we have this rational thought. And we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. It was formed at God's command. And I would say this, and I've said this before, creation shouts creator. Design shouts designer. Someone had to design all that we have. And if you really, truly look at the evidence, everything points to God. But it's by faith, by faith. And I don't know if there's a better verse in all of Scripture that really debunks evolution than this second part of the Scripture. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Do you understand what that's saying? That is saying this. That everything you see doesn't come from everything else that is seen, that you see. That it comes from something or someone that is unseen. And that's who God is. I mean, it's plain in the Scripture that things do not evolve from other things. That God created everything. Everything. The human body, our atmosphere. Isn't it amazing how we breathe in oxygen and we breathe out certain things, and the trees need what we breathe out and they get rid of oxygen with the exact same thing we need? You mean to tell me that's by chance? I'm not buying it. I don't have that much faith. I don't have that much trust in who God is. Faith is substance, a realization, a confidence. Faith is evidence. Faith looks at the evidence objectively and comes to a conclusion that God created everything. And then our final thought is this. It's in verse 6. Faith is essential. Faith is essential. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I do not want you to answer this. Don't be tempted to answer because you're going to say the wrong thing. And I don't want to make you look bad. What pleases God? Now, I know you're thinking, oh, it's easy, it's faith. It's not. You have to look at the nuance of the verse. You have to look at how it was written. And now all of you are looking at your paper and you're looking at me like, but it says right there, without faith it's impossible, please God. Yes. But when you look at it in the original language, in the Greek, you understand that really what pleases God, please don't miss this. What pleases God is when we seek him. Because without seeking him, how can you believe in him? Do you see it there? It's right there in the verse. Without faith it's impossible. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. See, what pleases God is not your faith. God never says, wow, look at his faith. God never says, man, she is a woman of faith. God will never say that about anyone. But we see in Scripture that God delights in people that seek him. That God, I think it says in Chronicles, I should have looked this up ahead of time, that God searches the earth for a man or a woman who goes hard after him. That God's eyes look throughout the earth for a man or woman who is diligently seeking him, because that's what pleases God. Not the size of your faith, but going after God. That's what really pleases him. Hear me, church. God wants us to draw near to him. God wants us to seek him, because when we do, then our faith grows. Then our faith, our trust, our confidence, our realization, the evidence grows, and we can trust him. I put this in your notes. Three things that come from this verse. We must come to God. That's first. We must believe in God. And then secondly, or thirdly, we trust that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That last one is huge. God wants to reward you. How many want a reward from God? You know what? I'll take two. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to humble myself. I'll take two. If God's given something out, I want it. And here's what he gives it. Those who seek him. Those who go after him. Those who want not greater faith just so they can show off their faith muscle. That's not what God's talking about here. God is saying, I want the man, the woman, the young person who goes after me and seeks me more than anything else. That person's faith grows. God wants to be invited into your story. God wants to be included in your decisions. God wants to help guide you and help you make the right decision. God wants to encourage you through life's most difficult challenges. God wants to love you and to make his presence known to you. And that comes when we diligently seek him, when we go after him. That is what truly pleases God. I'm going to close in just a minute, but I want to say this before I close. We're going to be in Hebrews 11 for the next 5 or 6 weeks. I want to encourage you, and I know it's hard, it's summertime. Don't miss one of these. And I know, listen, I know you got summer vacation coming, I know you got plans, and we're going away this weekend. I get it. Listen, if you can't be here, watch online. And if you can't watch online, then watch it during the week so you stay caught up. This is a fantastic chapter in the Bible. And we're going to just go through this the next few weeks and just dissect all that faith is and look at how our faith can be stronger. And so, in order to close, I want to just give you just some highlights of what was going to happen these next couple weeks. And so, Kyle, if you could put it up. So these are just some of the things that happen in Hebrews 11. And see if you know these characters. You don't have to say them out loud. Maybe you want to tell it to your neighbor if you know. Make yourself look smart. That's fine. Faith brings the proper sacrifice. Right? We're going to talk about Abel. That's Abel. Faith allows one to walk with God. That's Enoch. We're going to talk about him next week. Right? Faith builds an ark 500 miles from water. Anybody have any idea who that is? You know who that is. That's Noah. This is all in the faith chapter. Faith leaves what is familiar. That's Abraham. Abraham left everything to follow God. To follow God. Faith receives strength to bear a child well past the age of having children. Yeah, I hear a few S's. Sarah. Yes, Sarah. Faith blesses his family. That's Jacob. Jacob at an old age says he brought Joseph's children in and blessed them. One of the things that faith does, it blesses other people. It blesses other people, right? Put up the next one. Faith gives you favor in a foreign land. Anybody have any idea who that is? Absolutely, Joseph. Joseph was in Egypt, didn't know the language, and God raised him up to the vice president of the nation. That's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Faith refuses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses. Moses chose to be with his people rather than to be with Pharaoh. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. It's an amazing story. Faith passes through the Red Sea on dry ground. No, not Charlton Heston. Gosh, Pastor Gwen. Man. I was doing so well. You know what I'm saying? The Israelites. Faith walks around the walls of Jericho. Joshua. Yeah, Joshua. Faith hides spies even though it could cost you your life. Rahab. All these. Listen. All these. I know you're like, you're going to get all that in 6 weeks? We're going to skip around. Trust me. But all of that is in this chapter. And listen, it was all done by faith. It was all done because of a belief, a confidence, a trust, a things hoped for, a realization that God can be trusted and that his word is true. And then it ends the chapter, and I love this. I just do. I love this portion of scripture. I love this. You can put it up. Verse 32 says this. Listen, he ends with the chapter with this, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to go into Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith, listen to what they did, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what is promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness, I love this, was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead. Do you know all of this is because of faith? All of this is because of faith. Raised to life again. There were others who, get this, watch, were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine being in jail and them coming and saying, you're free, and you're like, yeah, no, I'm good, I'm going to stay. Because all you're going to do is persecute me more, and I'm just going to stay. Because you know what? God's going to get all the glory. God's going to get all the glory. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in desert and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground, all because of faith, all because they trusted God. We don't experience any of that. I've never had to live in a hole. I've never had to run from my life. God has been, and I'm truly grateful, God has been tremendous to me and my family and to you. As I sit here and look at you, who drove or who walked, you have clothing, more than one, right? Because I know what you wore last week, and it's different than today, and that's good. All because of faith. The writer sums up and he says, listen, I could go on and on and on about these stories of people who lived by faith. Question. Are you living by that faith? Are you trusting God today? And then it says this, and this is what I want written about me when I die. You want to know what I want written about me? I want this written about me. Verse 39. Listen. These were all commended for their faith. Wouldn't that be great to put that on your epitaph? He or she was a man of faith. They trusted God. When no one else was in their family, when everyone else was going this way, they said, you know what, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to go this way because this is the way God wants. They were commended for not their good looks, not their bank account, not the big house they lived in. They were commended for their faith. I want that to be said of me. Commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. These are all Old Testament people. They had no idea what God was doing. They were all, if you remember this a couple weeks ago, or a few months ago, they were all old covenant people. They had no idea what the new covenant would, that Jesus Christ would come and the Holy Spirit would live inside of us. They had no idea. And yet they lived by faith, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I hope that is said about you, that you would be commended for your faith in God, for your trust in Him, to be commended. Two prayers that I want to pray at the end of each one of these messages. And I want you to pray them with me, and I want you to pray them if you remember every day. If you can, that's fine. If you forget, that's okay. Two prayers. They're really simple. Could you put them up, Kyle? It's this. Lord, increase my faith, and Lord, increase our faith. What if you prayed that every day? Lord, just today, increase my faith, my trust in you. When I look at the evidence, God, everything points to you, that you can be trusted, that, gosh, that scripture in Joshua 21, verse 45, that none of your promises slipped out of your hands, that all of them were fulfilled. God, I'm trusting you for some stuff. God, I'm praying about some promises. I'm trusting you. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase our faith. Would you say it with me? Lord, Lord, one more time. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase our faith. Stand with me. Almighty God, we are so thankful for your word, for the inspiration that the writer of Hebrews had to include these men, these women, to give us this wonderful definition of what faith is. It's substance, it's realization, it's confidence in who you are. And then faith is evidence. It's proven, it's tested, it's true. And God, today we put our faith, our hope, our confidence, our realization, our assurance in you. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase our faith. Through this series, through your word. God, we don't know what we're going to face this week, this month, the rest of this year, but I know this. We have faith that whatever comes our way, you can be trusted. God, we surrender our lives to you once again. Use this passage to grow us, that we would each day seek you, because that's what pleases you. We love you, God. We honor you, Jesus. We bless you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.